So we're here on Daf Chav Dalet Omid Aleph, three lines down, the end of the third line. Omar Abaye, Afanan Nami Tnina. Now, Afanan Nami Tnina has to be understood, because Afanan means what? Is he adding to something that came before it? Yeah, Afanan Nami Tnina means a proof. Excellent. And who is he proving? Rav Chanina. How do you know this?
Rashi.
Yeah, Rashi gives it away. Well, it's not for Rashi, I would know. It's such a general statement. Afanan Nami Tnina. But Rashi says, Ki Rabbi Chanina. So this, now we know that what we're learning here on Daf Chav Dalet is really a continuation of what we learned on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. Namely that what?
Ropi
Tzakar. Okay. And basically, what's Abai's goal? To prove what?
That in the case of Rovan Karov,
Rovan? To Rovan Bitzakar.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back, you know, as introduction to Abai, so we'll see why Abai feels compelled to try to bring a proof. Let's go back to the basics. Rav Chanina says that Rov beats out Karov. Correct? Now, let's ask this. Is Rav Chanina a Tano or an Amora? No, Rav Chanina is an Amora.
That's why we asked the thing about the Mishnah before.
And that's why, Ezra, we need to answer the following question. Even before Rabbi Chanina, I know that Rov beats out Karov.
We know from the Mishnah.
Correct. Excellent. Ksuvus. Because what does it say in Ksuvus? Okay, but that's a case of Rov. How do you know it's a case of Karov? And how does Tosus know it's a case of Karov?
Because Tosos says, because the fact that Rabbi Chanina come and told, no, Rabbi Chanina is just adding on to that.
No, Tosos employs, take a look. Sean, Tosos employs a principle here. You'll see it here in the Tosos Dira Maschel Rov, on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. At the beginning of the Tosos.
This is with Rabbi Chanina, or the reason that Rabbi Chanina would have had a Chavami and then his Emso.
Oh, so this mashma that Tosus derives that in Ksuvus we're talking about a case that even if you found the meat where?
Karov,
in front of which?
The
Nevela, then nevertheless you still go bust a robe and you can eat it. And Tosus says mashma. Now I looked at the Mishnah and I didn't see it.
Yeah.
The Mishnah says that you found a piece of meat. There were nine kosher butcher shops, one non-kosher. But how does Tosus know that there was a karov situation where you found it in front of?
Without it, there would be no chiddush, I guess.
That it would have differentiated
against karov.
Well, wait a minute. Leave out the karov. Why do I need a chiddush of rov? How many stores sell kosher meat?
Nine.
But maybe it came from what?
The non-kosher one. But we haven't done a rov, don't we? Or is this the first time we ever see rov?
Maybe this is the first time we ever see Rov. I don't know. This is the mission of Rov.
Is that the first time we see Rov? I mean,
I don't know.
We'd have to specify.
Is this the first time we see Rov?
If let's say it's Rov, and we're saying it's not allowed to be in front of a non-kosher one, we would have to specify that.
Say again. If what?
If this is the first time we're seeing Rov, then we can't just make a blatant statement like wherever the meat is found, it's going to be kosher. If it's not true that it's Karov. Sorry, if it's found karov to the non kosher one, if we're going to assume it's non kosher, you can't just make a blanket statement that the rov one's out.
Oh, so the two answers to understand Tosus is mashma. One is yours and one is yours. Either Tosus is saying mashma because otherwise to repeat the halach of rov, that we don't need a mishnah for that or a brisa for that. Or alternatively, since the brisa didn't qualify, and it seems like under all situations, if you find this piece of meat, you can rely on what?
Rov.
Even if what?
Karov.
Even if it's karov to the non-kosher.
That's how I like to. Like Azos.
That's like Azos.
Or Harissa.
Okay, good. You're thinking along the same line. But once I know from this Mishnah that Rov beats out karov, then what question do we have to ask?
Why do we need Rav proof?
Why do we need Rav Chanina? Because Rav Chanina is a Tana or an Amora.
It's an Amora.
An Amora. So it doesn't make sense an Amora would repeat that which we know from a Tana. Again, we only know it from a Tana if we assume that the Mishnah, the Brice of Teish Chanuyos, applies even if you have a Karov against the rope. So, for example, one answer to Tosus is that the Nir Liri on the beginning of the wide lines, the Imas Nisan Hava Nina Benimtza Bamta. What does he mean by nimtza beemtza? And there's no what? No karav. Do you remember how Tosus Rid has an alternative reading? Not nimtza beemtza, with, you know, you have the hub with the piece of meat right in the middle, equidistant from all the stores, but rather what? Correct, you found it in a different alleyway, you know, way out, or outside the city, or in a different district, not in the meat-selling district. But whatever it is, there's no karav. But the Ri gives a second answer to this question. And that's at this second answer, the Ri, I think, is going to give us a little background to understand where Abai is coming from. What was the second answer of the Ri? Can anybody repeat that? But can you flesh it out a little bit? That if I only had the mish, if I only had the brayso of teish chanuyos, then what?
Then you would have thought that if it's korban muchach, then korban went out.
And the case of nevela would be what kind of case? You found the nevela in front of a non-kosher meat store. Would that be korban muchach or korban deina muchach? So which is greater, korban deina muchach or korban de muchach?
What you mean, like stronger?
Which is stronger?
Like korban muchach.
So, would you say that Kurva de Muchach has more of a chance to beat out the Rove?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So then, what's the Chiddush of Chanina?
Yeah.
So basically, is Rabbi Chanina saying anything about Karov, or he's saying something about Rove?
He's saying something about Rove, that Rove even beat.
Correct. Excellent. That Rove is so powerful that it beats out even a Kurva de Muchach. Would I have known that from the Braisa of Teish Chanuyos?
No,
I couldn't have known that. Because the Braisa of Teish Chanuyos is only talking about what case? Kurva de Lomukha. So now I need Rav Chanina to address the question, how powerful is Rov? Bishlam, if Rov in the Brice of Teish Chanuyos beats out what? Kurva, which kind of Kurva?
Kurva de
Lomukha. That I understand. Because basically in Kurva de Lomukha, what logic compels you to believe that it came from the non-kosher butchsa? How does the proximity work in that case? In other words, The Hava Mina before the Brisa of Teisha Chanuyos, again, we're not up to Rav Chanina yet, was that since you found the meat in front of the non-kosher butch store, then Azlina Basakar, despite the fact that where is the majority in terms of kosher meat? In the Teisha Chanuyos, correct? So you have Teisha Chanuyos against one Chanuyos. Nevertheless, if not for the Brisa, I would have thought that there's something weighing in favor of the one single store that sells non-kosher meat. What weighs in?
Karov.
Well, what's the logic of Karov?
Over there,
and why does Rov beat it out? Good. So what do you mean by low muchach? Well, what's low muchach? You know, I obviously, in a scale from 0 to 100... where would you place Kurva de Lomukha? It's pretty low down there, right?
The slums,
right? The slums of the meat selling district. But why is it so low? Obviously, it's a habit that we should use Karav against the rope. So you got to give it some credit, you know, even though you're putting it down in the dumps. You've got to elevate it to some status, otherwise I don't... You can't, like you point from before, Shom, that, you know, of course we're going to go Basar Rov. The Torah tells us to go Basar Rov. So the Brice itself has to tell me some level of Chidush, does it not? And what was the Hava Mina before the Brice had told me that you could eat this meat? That even Kurva de Mucha, de Lo Mucha could beat out of Rov. So let's try to give Kurva de Lo Mucha some status. I don't want to put it down in the dumps completely, otherwise there's no Hava Mina. And we got back to the question of Rov. Well, the Torah always says good. Oh, so what was Kurva de Lomukha? I want to know the lower level of Kurva de Lomukha. What is it telling me?
Kurva de Lomukha?
Yeah, what is it telling me? Because ultimately, I think, what question do we have to ask in the light of this Tosis?
What's the difference between?
Between what and what? Kurva de
Lomukha.
Excellent. That question I want you to write down. Because I think what we're going to have to come to grips with is what's the difference between a Kurva de Lomukha and a Kurva de Mucha? Tosis
like
says nothing about it, what?
We've been like dancing around that question sort of.
Correct. It's been a while now that we're trying to address this question. But what does Kurva de Lomukha tell you? Again, it's the lower ebb, but we have...
It tells you something, but not enough.
Okay, but...
It's not lighter
birth.
Wait a minute. It's possible that it came from this place. That doesn't really do it for me.
A little more than that.
I'll tell you why. Because if you're working with possibilities, then where's the rove over here? In other words, if the non-kosher butcher store has nothing more than just pure probability theory, and it's 1 against 9. So what are the percentage points that it came from that non-kosher butcher store? 10%, am I right? So you're going to have to tell me that Kurva jacks it up a little bit. What do you say?
No,
you start saying something. Well, so what's the logic of Kurva? Something has to weigh in favor of this non-kosher butcher store, and then we come in with Rove to...
It's a small proof that if nothing else goes against it is a good enough proof, but if a stronger proof goes against it, the Kurva
is lost. But what is the smaller proof that you're referring to? Because again, I want to jack it up a little bit more than 10%, because otherwise, like you say, Azalina Basaruba.
That it's found, like, it makes sense that it's found right outside the store that the person bought it.
That so, the person who bought, again, I don't know what you mean by the person who bought it. I don't know if am I so focused on the person who bought it? Because I'll tell you the truth, if you're worried about the person who bought it, that's going to be Kol Kavua Kevav Tal Meftit. I mean, that's a whole other sugya. What we want to know is not the person who bought it, but the person who what? It could be it's all the same
who
person.
Sold it, where you got the meat came from.
Not the person who sold it or the person who bought it, but the person who what? Who dropped it. Excellent, Ari. That's what we want to know. Did everybody see that?
Yeah.
So what are the chance? Why do I beef up the chances that the person who dropped it came out of the non-kosher butcher store?
Because most people aren't Jewish.
Well, let's say you have a group of people who are walking around in this area, you know, outside the butcher shop. So we'll imagine some sort of an open area. Correct? Now they can go anywhere. But is there one person that you can pinpoint? I don't mean one person by name or by face, but conceptually one person who definitely has to pass over this area where I found the meat. Yeah, definitely the guy who walked out of the store with a piece of meat would have definitely beyond the shadow. Can I tell you about the other 9 butcher stores or meat stores that those guys passed on the threshold of this chanus?
No.
Is it mukach? Is there any proof to that effect? But what can I know beyond the shadow of that? Unless it's another way of getting out of the store, you know, maybe a back door, right? But let's assume there's only a front door. So we draw a circle, right? This is the circle in front of the butcher stores, right? And here's where we found a piece of meat, right? We'll call it X. Now, out of all the people buying in all the stores, can we pinpoint anyone that definitely passed by this X? Only the guy who came out of this chanus, right, which is selling nevela. So you've got the nevela store, and there's no way of avoiding it. You can't skip over this. Therefore, we have one piece of evidence that weighs in favor of the fact that this piece of meat came out of what?
That store.
Out of that store. I mean, let's go back to the paradigm of Karov. What's the paradigm case of Karov? The source of the Torah for Karov. Egel Arufa, right? So in Egel Arufa, I find a chol, right? We call it the X. That's the chol. Okay? Now, we've got people coming out of cities all along the peripheral of that point X. But what can I say about the Krova, the Ira Krova?
The chance that I came from there.
Why? I mean, there are people coming from all different cities.
I do not agree that the Krova has to. I don't think that's true. The Krova doesn't have to. There's more of a chance it came from there.
Oh.
The meat case is different than the Krova case.
Okay.
Because the Krova case...
So then, if in the Krova case, the Torah tells me that assume it came from the closest city, meaning the Rotzeach came out and murdered someone right here. Correct? That's where the murder took place.
So we have to assume that, but it's not a definite thing.
Well, you're assuming, though, that the Krova... The Karov in this case is further away than this case.
Not further away.
Let's say in this case to walk out of
exactly.
That's assuming it's like on the step of that store. Let's say it's right in the middle, but a little closer to that. That would still be considered.
So no, based on Rabbi's explaining it, that's not. Rabbi explained it that it was literally you had to pass by that spot. If it's further away, you don't have to pass by.
It's still
spot.
But it's still called Karov, and it's still going to be the same.
Okay, that's fine. But so, then I don't want to say the forcing of passing by. That's
okay, actually, so let's stretch it a little bit. Can we modify our original definition?
So what you would have
because I would get a kavachomer here. But how would you modify our definition of kurva de lo muchach, given the paradigm of Egla Rufa.
I would say then it's further away and you don't have to walk by it, and there's an option, and it's still closer to this one than any of the other ones.
Then it would be comparable to that.
Then I say it's comparable to Egla Rufa.
So what I'm asking is, you have X number of people walking in this area that borders on all the cities, correct? You know, these are the exits from the cities.
Yeah.
So let's say you have 100 people exiting all the cities that border on the Cholol, where you found the corpse, correct? What could you say about the relationship between this city and the people coming out of this city and the Chol that's found closest to that city? Is there a relationship between the two?
It's more likely that more people are going to come, that are going to walk by that point.
No, not more, but again. Oh, more people from what?
That city from the other city.
Okay, good. So let's say from the other city, you've got, what shall I say, 90 people walking around this area. From this city, you have 10 people. Correct? But from these 90 people, how many of them are passing this spot? And how many are passing from the Krova? See, again, you only had 10 coming out of the Krova. You have 9 coming out of the other cities.
90. So, I mean, the answer 90, is I wouldn't know until you actually did the research, because it depends where the point is. It would be a lot more based on research and how it actually is in reality.
But what is when the Torah says, you know, Ira Krova, what is it telling you?
It's supposed to be telling me that those 10 are more likely to have passed by that spot.
Ah, excellent. Okay. And how much more so in the case of the Brisa of Teisha Chanuyos, that I could say that of all the people from all the different stores that are coming out into this we'll call it an open area in front of the stores. What can we call this area?
Square.
A square? Okay, we'll call it a square. From all the people coming out into the square, there's definitely a higher percentage of people coming out of the Nevela.
There's a clear difference, and we've already defined this before, is that in the case of Egla Rufa, those 90 people are really individual people, because we need to figure out each city individually. In this case, we don't care about this Nevela here, based on, you're right, 50% from here and only 10% from all the other ones. But those 10% from all the other ones will be a higher number at the end of the day than this one. We add up these ones, opposed to there, we don't add it up. That's the difference between the Egla Rufa in that case.
Well, here you're adding cities, and here you're adding Chanuyos.
You're not adding the cities, though. Because you're trying to define where that this came from. Therefore, it's individual cities. Therefore, 90 people, so it's 9 people per city, and only 10% pass by, whatever, will make it easier, whatever, 11%. So one person passes by, opposed to here, 50%, so you have 5 people passing by.
So wait, let me tell you, individual. There are two shittas in Rishonim on this issue. There's a machlokas between... excuse me, the Tosis Rid and the Rini Gash. This we touched on at the end of last week. I want to reiterate that. According to the Tosis Rid, we're going to take each city individually and we're going to count its population and compare it to the Ira Krova.
Okay.
According to the Rini Gash, what we're going to do is we're going to either count up cities or we're going to count up and integrate people, population from the various different cities. But be that as it may, one thing I think is clear, that the case of Nevela is, and here I want you to argue with me if you disagree with me, but offhand I would say the case of Nevela is a kal v'chomer. What do I mean? The Karov in the Nevela case, in the mission of Teisha Chanuyos, which according to Tosfos, Rav Chanina has to add something here, but we also have to understand what the price of Teisha Chanuyos is adding. Oh, I'm sorry. Right? So you've got the Torah that says that we go basar rov. Now you have a brisa that says, therefore we can eat this meat because there are 9 chanuyos of kosher against the 1 chanus of treif, correct?
Okay.
So what is the brisa of Teisha Chanuyos adding to the d'oraisa of rov? And what's the answer? What did the brisa add that we didn't know from the pasuk of rov? Correct. Even though the karv is contradicting what?
The rov.
Because the karv is claiming that you found it because it came out of what? Which store did it come out of?
That store, the karv.
The karv, which is the nevela, correct? So that's chiddush number one. And then Tosfos is going to ask, well, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, who's an Amora, coming after the mission? So we've got everything here. We've got Torah Shmachsav. So we got the halach of rov and Torah Shmachsav, but now we're adding that rov beats out karov. That's point number one, and that's because you found this basa right in front of, proximate to, the store that's selling nevela. Now we go on to Chiddush number two, and that is Rabbi Chanina. My only question to you is, if you were to size up the karov of Teisha Chanuyos, where you found the meat in front of a non-kosher butcher store, to the case where you found, to of Egla Rufo, where you found the chol somewhere between a cluster of cities, which karov, again on the scale, weighs in heavily, or more heavily than the other karov? No, but I'm saying even before we get to Kurva the Mucha, Kurva the Lomucha, I'm just comparing the case of Egla Rufa to the case of the Nevela. Which karov weighs in heavily?
Which one's
relatively? I'm saying if you compare the two.
Which one's heavier?
Which one's a heavier karov?
How about the body?
You think the body is?
I was saying heavier.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But what would you say? Isn't this case of Nevela, doesn't have an advantage over the karov of the cities?
Why?
Because again, as we said before, theoretically, I don't know of any way of getting out of this Chanus Nevela without passing by this spot.
Why are we assuming that? A, why are we assuming that? And B, even if you are assuming that, then I would still say there chances are it's a higher percentage that other people will still pass by it, though. Meaning there will be more people from the other stores passing by that spot. Unless you tell me, oh, literally on the doorstep, but not one Jew passes by there, then
no,
I'll tell you that
no,
there's
no
room at
no,
all.
No.
Where do you see that in the case, yeah, though? You have to pass it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to work out what Karov means. You know, is Karov... There are two ways of going with Karov. You know, you could say it's Xeris HaKosuv, and the Torah says, go bus a Karov. Do we know why? I mean, do I know why you bring a Paraduma, and it's Metairis HaTmeim, and Metamias HaTorim? There are plenty of Chukim in the Torah. That's one way of going. And then Karov is just some sort of amorphous Doraisa, Xeris HaKosuv, and we really don't have a grasp on it. What I'm trying to work overtime is to try to see how the Karov weighs in favor of a position that contradicts the rov. If it's Xeris HaKosuv, we have nothing to say. But if it's not Xeris HaKosuv, then perhaps we could say something about the Karov that gives me a little edge. Again, it's going to be defeated by the rov, but that's going to be the chiddush of the Braisa. But it gives me some edge, some element of evidence that weighs in against the rov. So you've got 9 kosher butcher stores, but there is something in favor of this one Nevela store, so that I can come up with some logic to Karov, that Karov can at least be a contestant against the rov. Again, if you're going to assume that the Nevela store has many different entrances to it, you know, the doors on all sides, then I don't know what Karov tells me over here.
Why would that weaken it? I don't understand. So granted, you can leave it as...
Because then Karov becomes...
Still Karov, it's still close to the store.
So again, yeah. So why is... What?
No, I was just going to explain to you. Basically, the question is, what is the advantage of Karov?
What's the logical advantage
that's
of Karov?
That's closer, you know what I mean?
So what is that...
So what? Like? But as you have to go a little beyond that. Yeah, again, look, the emphasis is maybe our whole discussion is off base. Maybe it's just Xeris HaKosuv. It's Karov, it's Karov, it's Karov. You know, who cares? There could be a million different people coming into this Nevela store from all over the world. And the same is true for every single other store in the neighborhood. And basically, we just, you know, it just happened to be that we took a measuring rod and it happens to be close. Is there any logic that indicates that this meat came from the non-kosher butcher store? That's one question. Okay.
We didn't even touch upon also, like I don't know statistically, but I'm sure, like, people drop stuff, like, closer to the store that they bought it from also.
Even if they're coming from different directions? You understand? What, if they dropped it close, then they dropped it out here, again, then you have to measure, you know, distances from, let's say, for example, here's your chanus. I don't know, maybe if they drop it here, this chanus, which is Kshera, is even closer than the Nevela. I don't know.
The other entrances, but like just think about it, like if I'm like grocery shopping and I drop an apple, I probably dropped it closer to the grocery store than a clothing store. Like,
okay,
I would just assume that But we didn't even like talk about that earlier.
So basically what you're saying is that if you take out a clock and it takes, let's say, any time between 0 minutes and 100 minutes till you drop something, then we're going to assume that you drop it sooner than later.
I would assume that
You understand my point?
I would if somebody's drops happen closer to the store than...
But closer to the store because until he gets here, it takes a while.
Where are you getting that from?
Just think about it. If you see something on the floor in front of Amazing Savings, do you really think it's going to be from down the block?
It's probably from Amazing Savings. Sure, it could be from anywhere.
Yeah, but it's probably going to be from the store that it's right in front of. Because most people drop stuff.
Have their bad weekends and a hole.
So I'll say one thing we see clear from our discussion is that there's no clarity to support the evidence in favor of a Karov. In other words, again, on a logical basis, you know, you could argue, well, chances are he dropped it right in front. Everybody, you know, not everybody passes that spot. You know, you're gonna work very hard. When the Bryce establishes that you can eat the meat, so what beats out Karov?
Rove.
This is before Rabbi Hanina. Okay, now we have to see what Rabbi Hanina added to the equation. Yes.
Well, I see if the rove was that like strong that it was like right outside, like really you have to pass it by. Like, it should differentiate.
The rove you have to pass it by?
Yeah, you have to pass by the meat. The karov, whatever.
The karov. No. I only said by the karov.
Right. You know? I'm saying if it was that strong that you have to pass it by, like it should differentiate it. In fact, the toast was even like, you know, he says mashma that even if it was a case of what's it called of karov, like it still would be nothing. Implies, I think it would imply that the karov isn't like such a strong type of thing. That even if there's multiple exits, or even if it's a few feet away from the store, it's not as.
So Ezra, again, I wanted you to look at it from a different perspective. You're right that rov is going to beat out this karov, but the Torah says that we go bust a rov if you don't make some case in favor of the karov. Which again might be exerus hakosav. Like keep that in mind all the time. But if you don't make some case in favor of the karov, if there's no logical reason to assume a priori that there are more chances that it came from the karov, or at least there's some evidence or some element that weighs in favor of the karov, then you're just repeating what we know from the Torah itself, namely that what? That has lina basa ruba. I mean, that we know from the Torah. Ram lahat. So I need to give some credence and some weight to the Karov. Otherwise I'm stuck with the issue, why did the Brisa have to tell me that Azlin and Basar rove? We know that from the Torah. Okay, so we waited for some evidence in favor of the Karov, let's say. It's not convincing, it's called a Kurva. Dolomucha. What is Rav Hanina going to tell me now?
That
rove beats out even a kurva de muchach. Once again, Tosus doesn't tell me why this kurva de muchach is such a powerful kurva. Why is this karav better than a kurva de lo muchach? He gives us a paradigm case. Do you remember his paradigm case?
With the wine,
correct. He found a barrel of wine outside of a city, and there are many other cities. So the wine barrel could have come down the river from a different city, right? So we assume it came from the closest city. That kurva, says Tosus, how does he identify it? Kurva de Muchach. That's the Chiddush of Rav Hanina. So you've got the Torah that says go bust a rove without karov. You've got the Braisa that tells me that rove beats karva kurva de lo muchach. Now you have Rav Hanina who tells you that rove beats what? Even kurva de muchach. So now, when you find this barrel outside of one particular city, so let's say there's a certain amount of commerce that the city does. Let's say you're back in Worms, you know, 1,000 years ago, Rashi had a wine factory and he's selling wine. So, you know, it's almost inevitable that some wine is going to fall, some barrel of wine is going to roll into the river. Like, just picture the scene. There's a dock and the ships and they're setting out. And lo and behold, a barrel fell. So you've got this barrel sitting on the river, floating on the river outside of one city. However, most of the cities that border on that same river are non-Jewish cities. That's the That's the Gemara that we're going to see, which is called, take a look here on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, that's called Dikra. It's about eight lines up from the bottom. What's a Dikra? Ahi Dikra, look at Rashi, it's five lines down in the wide lines. Rashi says, Ahi Dikra, Shem Machoz, who al Narpras, he quotes the Gemara's, the Ein Yisrael Mitzuyim Shom, Vahula Malami Pras, it's on the upper part of the river, V'yechol HaChavis Lavo Misham Etzleinu. Now, how would you translate the word Yechola? Again, I don't mean literally. Yechola means what?
Able.
It's possible. But there are two ways of saying something. It's possible. You could say it's theoretically possible, it's feasible, it could be, or you could say it's very possible. You know, which one is Rashi meaning of it? And this, I think, will be the key to understand what Tosis is saying, that the case of a barrel of wine is called kurva demuchach. What would you say?
Where's the Rashi?
The Rashi is the fifth of the wide lines on Daf Chav Dalet. It starts with the words Me'ahi Dikra on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. I call it the wide lines towards the bottom.
It's like, it's possible. It's like a, you know, slight chance.
Correct. I also possible. Think it's a slight chance. No?
It's yeah. More toward that it won't happen, but there still is
some possibility. So now we begin to ask ourselves the question, what is Kurva de Muchach? If Tosfos finds in this barrel of wine your paradigm for Kurva de Muchach.
Because there's such a small chance that it came from anyone else.
And why is this such a small chance? What would have had to have happened in order for this barrel to come down from up north?
Well, we would have stopped it from going in.
In other words, is it usual? Is it anticipated? Is it part of the regulus that given, you know, life goes on the way it usually goes on from day to day, from hour to hour, that some barrel is going to come from a city all the way on top of the Euphrates River and find itself all the way down at the bottom of the Euphrates River?
It's not so common.
It's not so common. So kurva de muchach means you've got a kurva in which you know, if all things are equal, within a certain span of time, we can expect something to be porish.
Shouldn't that be weaker than a lo muchach?
Alright.
Well, again, let's look at this nevela shop. Do you anticipate that if things go as they should, you know, kahogan, as we would say, that somebody's going to come out of that store and drop a piece of piece of meat?
I think that case is much more likely in the case of a river, you know, a barrel going from a river.
But again, if you assume that there's wine, there's a lot of wine in the city. In fact, Tosis assumes that there's rov yain in the city. So, isn't it feasible that if you find this wine floating in the river that it came, you know, does anybody have a take on that?
I still think the meat cases would be much more likely to happen. Remember a barrel coming all the way from the north and landing outside, and you said maybe it came from another place.
I don't know, is that what we're saying? Like, since it's so impossible, since it's so improbable, then we say that the cargo is so much stronger. And since the Nebula.
Why would the cargo be. Alright, the cargo would be.
But what I'm asking is, what creates that improbability?
In the wine case?
In the wine case.
That there's so many. I mean, I don't know so much about Euphrates.
No, there's what I'm asking is, what makes it more probable that it came from the closest city than it came from the furthest city? And what makes it more improbable that the non-kosher meat was dropped by, that the meat was dropped by somebody coming out of the non-kosher butcher stuff than somebody coming from one of the other non-kosher butchers?
Because there's so many people and places that it needs to go for it not to be stopped. It's just like almost impossible for it to get to the Jewish one without anyone noticing and picking it up and stuff, so it must be from that Jewish place. Okay. Whereas the non-kosher one, I mean, where's the meat?
Let's now leave this as.
Sort of like, can you make a kal vachomer from lo muchach onto muchach?
Well, no, I'm saying like this.
Which is the case of a meat case, but it's not as strong as a karov.
No, what I'm saying is that if if you go from a kurva de lo muchach to a kurva de muchach, then what you're telling me is a great chiddush. You're really making a leap of faith here when you say that rov, since it defeats a kurva de lo muchach, therefore it defeats a kurva de muchach. The kurva de muchach has a lot more weight of evidence than the kurva de lo muchach. So the fact that rov beats out a kurva de lo muchach tells me absolutely nothing about its ability to defeat a kurva de muchach. Because in kurva de muchach, basically, I have some logical reason that compels me, again in quotation marks, but at least moves me in direction, to assume that it came from the karov. Because in order to assume that it came from the rachok, I've got to postulate that something happened. So the chiddush of Rabbi Chanina is that rov is so powerful that even though it would seem unlikely that something came from the rachok, and the kurva here is so convincing, we'll call it an upgraded kurva, kurva de muchach, nevertheless, Rabbi Chanina insists that rov trumps a kurva, even though it's a kurva de muchach. That I wouldn't have known from the brisa of Teisha Chanuyos. If I only had the brisa of Teisha Chanuyos without Rabbi Chanina, well, look, you know, maybe there's some sort of, as we pointed out before, we have to really work very hard to come up with some logical explanation as to why we assume this meat came out of the non-kosher butcher store. I mean, there are people walking around in all directions, and maybe even come from. So we came out with what we ever came out, but there was nothing unusual, given the fact that somebody dropped a piece of meat, in assuming that it could have been someone who went. You know, he went up the block, he bought kosher meat, and then he came back to his house, and he passed by the non-kosher butcher shop, and as he was entering into his house, boom, he dropped the meat in front of his non-kosher butcher shop. That's not illogical. You know, there's no, you know, given the fact that somebody inevitably is going to drop a piece of meat, it could theoretically go. In the case of the chavit shel yayin, there you have to assume that some very unusual thing happened. And somebody up there in the north, on the top, not only did he lose his barrel of wine, and it fell into what? Into the river, but he didn't even get to it on time.
And no one did.
Until it rolled all the way down the river. You know, you remember the song Rolling Down the River? You know, so it has to roll all the way down the river. I mean, you have to, in order to create a support for the rachok, you're going to have to invent a whole story that happened. Some unusual sequence of events that are not anticipated. If, and then I want to jump fast forward. Let's talk a little bit about Abaye. Let's read Abaye inside. Omar Abaye, Afana Nami Tnina. Okay? Now, once we have the Chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, that what? Let's just reiterate it. Rov beats what? Kurva de Muchach. If Abaye wants to prove from a Mishnah, in this case a Mishnah where?
Nida.
That Rabbi Chanina is correct, that Rov beats out Karov, then what kind of Karov by definition must Abaye be addressing? Kurva de Muchach. Because if Abaye is going to come up with a scenario where Rov beats out Kurva de Lo Muchach, so we don't need to look into Nida for that. We don't have to open up Masech Nida. We know that. From where? From where can we prove that Rov beats out a Kurva de Lo Muchach?
From
Ksuvas Mitesha Chanuyo. So Abaye doesn't have to introduce a new element here into this equation. It's, you know, every child knows that in the case of Teisha Chanuyos, the Sugi and Ksuvus establishes that Rov beats out Karov. Ah, but that's not enough to prove, Rabbi Chanina says Tosus. Why? I say, Teisha Chanuyos, if all we have on the table is Teisha Chanuyos, and that Rov beats out Karov, that would not be enough to prove Rabbi Chanina. That's where Abaye is sweating it out.
Because that's
the case of the Lo Muchach. Correct, that's the case of the Lo Muchach. So Abaye has to prove, in order to establish Rav Chanina, that Rov beats out even a Kurva de Muchach. So what's going to, when we now approach the Mishnah Nida, which Abaye is about to quote, what do we have to assume from the start when we meet and read the Mishnah in Nida? That it's Kurva Demuch. Now, let's go over the case in Nida.
Can
what
I
do you
think?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it is just like, can we? So our Mishnah then also has to be Kurva Demuch.
Our Mishnah of Nipo?
Yeah.
Well, what?
Otherwise, there's no point for us to bring Ruch Haina in case of Dolom Demuch.
No, what we're saying is that if Rabbi Chanina would admit that in our Mishnah there's a rove, then why does the Mishnah establish that you give it to the Karov?
But if it was a case of Dolom Muchach, then it would just mean a case of Ksuvah Sa'as HaKoshim.
Right, right. So you're saying that why did the Gemara attack Rabbi Chanina? Okay? So the answer is because... Who remembers the answer to this question that you just asked? Well, if it's a kurva de lo muchach, then why does Gemara attack Rabbi Chanina? Why didn't the Gemara just set up a stira between the price of Teish Chanuyos and the Mishnah of Nipal? The Mishnah of Nipal says we go basar karov. Correct? Now, assuming there's a rov, there's another shovach that has more birds than the one that's karov. So then the Mishnah is against the price of Teish Chanuyos. Well, why are you attacking Reb Chanina?
Is Reb the Alma?
Exactly. And what does Reb the Alma do for me? Why does Reb the Alma project me into Reb Chanina's territory? And now we're going to have a problem. How is it that we give it to the closest shovach? Shouldn't we go basarov?
Because Ksuvas wouldn't even entertain the possibility of Reb the Alma.
Yeah, but say it a little differently. In other words, what's the scenario of Ruba di Alma? What kind of scenario is it so that now we understand why Reb Chanina and only Reb Chanina has a headache? If it was the Brisa and Teish Chanuyos, we could square with the Mishnah of Nipal despite the Ruba di Alma. But now that we have Reb Chanina, the Brisa of Nepal, excuse me, the Mishnah of Nepal becomes absolutely problematic because of Ruba di Alma. How does that work? Let me refresh your memory. Take a look at Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Mosif back on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. You want to take a minute to review that Tosfos? Amasnisa the Teish Chanuyos Nami Avi Motzi Lakshuye El Amasnisa Ikal Shnuyah Bit Aleka Vesu Leka Lakshuye Nezel Basa Ruba Di Alma Dilgabi Ruba Di Alma Avi Kurva Zu Ha'ir Kurva De Muchach.
Because Ruba Di Alma upgrades it to Kurva De Muchach.
Once you have Ruba Di Alma, then the Kurva becomes Kurva De Muchach. Why is it that the Shovach that's out there in the wild blue yonder, you know, it's not even within 50 amas of a radius of this Nepal, of this Gozel that I found. Why does that set up the Karov to upgrade the Karov to a Kurv de Muchach? You hear my question? Again, this is very important. Why is it that Ruba di Alma upgrades the kurva to a kurva de muchach? So it means if I'm comparing one shovach to the other within 50 amma, what kind of karov is that? Kurva de lo muchach. If I'm comparing one shovach to the other and they're both outside of a radius of 50 amma of the nipol that I found, what kind of kurva is that? Kurva de lo muchach. But if I'm comparing one shovach within 50 amma to another shovach that's out of 50 amma, what kind of kurva is that? That's a kurva de muchach. And so too says Tosfos, if you're assuming the possibility that a bird came from yonder because it's the ruba di alma, then the kurva becomes what? Kurva de muchach. So now we have a kasha on Rabbi Chanina. What do we do with this mission of Nepal? We give it to the closest shovach. Whatever happened to ruba di alma? And you, Rabbi Chanina, well, the Baal HaShita, you Mechadish the Chiddush, that rove is so powerful that it defeats even what?
Yeah.
Even what kind of karov? even Kuri de Mucha. So again, coming back to Abaye, if Abaye is going to stretch his arm out to the Mishnah Nida, and he's going to prove that Reb Chanin is correct in the Mishnah Nida, then by definition, what's going to have to be the scenario in the Mishnah of Nida? It's going to be Rove against the Kurva de Mucha. So let's go over the scenario of the Mishnah Nida and see how we can construct a Kurva de Mucha. You've got three areas anatomically. What are the three areas?
We answered for that. We said Zusha is going to harm, right?
That's Rebekina.
Correct. That's Rebekina. And that's what we're going to have to completely neutralize the Ruba the Alma. There's no Ruba the Alma. The bird case?
Yeah.
So the Gemara. So how did the Gemara get out of the problem of Ruba the Alma in the bird case? Do anybody remember?
It says Zusha has been harmed.
No. That was for the Egla Rufa case. Sorry. For the bird case, it was different. It was Medade. Do you remember Medade? So what was the Shear of the Chacham? How far can a bird be Medade?
50 Amos.
Only 50 Amos. If you find it outside of 50 Amos, then it's not even a candidate. So we know that this bird within 50 Amos could not have possibly come from Ruba the Alma. Because the bird is a medadeh, and a medadeh couldn't come from a further.
So shouldn't that make the case of lo muchach then? If it can't come out from further than 50 amos, then there's no ruba d'alma, which implies what? Which implies it should be a case of lo muchach.
No, I think we're saying just the opposite. That once you neutralize the ruba d'alma, then you know it came from the karav, and even Reb Chanina would agree. Reb Chanina's only argument is if you have a rove. So we've already established that all the shovchos within 50 amma have the exact same bird population. So there's no rove here within 50 amma. But you tell me about what are the birds out there in the wild? The answer is we're talking about a medade.
Is there anything you would hold that the Nepal case?
You give it back to the car. Because once you neutralize the room of the alma, what you're left with is the only possibility is. The only candidate for this bird are those shofchos within 50 amma. Once you've limited to those shofchos in the 50 amma, you should give it back to the largest shofchos. And the Gemara answers that our mission is talking about a case where all the shofchos have what? The same population of birds. In the melee, you have no rove. Ruba the alma is completely neutralized, give it to the karov. Even Reb Chanina agrees that once you've taken rove out of the box, then you fall back to karov. Same thing in the case of Egla Rufa, but here we have to introduce what? Yosheves Bein Aharon. Because once we introduce Yosheves Bein Aharon, then we've neutralized the Ruba the Alma. Now what are you left with? You're left with all the cities within the Harim. But what's true about all those cities within the Harim? They all have the same population. So you have no Rove, and therefore the Parsha of Ir Krova comes into play. So again, we always have to keep focus. Don't lose the focus of the, don't lose sight of the forest for the trees. That Reb Chanina agrees that this halach of karav. He's not denying the pasuk in Chumash. He's claiming that you have two parshas in the Torah: the parsha of karav and the parsha of rov. And that when you logically put them one against the other, which one wins out? Which one beats out the other one? Rov. And not only that I knew already from which brisa in Ksuvos Teisha Chanuyos. What Reb Chanina says that Rove beats out even what? Kurva de Mucha. Now Abaye comes along and I'll prove it to you. That Rove beats out a Kurva de Mucha. Good?
Yeah.
Oh, how does he see it? So again, let's just go over the anatomy for a minute. In the Mashal of the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah in Masech Denida sets up a Mashal. Mishalu Mashal Chacham. Chachamim created this simile. You know, they gave you the diagram. There's a cheder, there's a prozdor, and there's an aliyah. Now the cheder is the same as what?
Kar.
As the mokar, right. So there we know the dam coming out of the mokar and the cheder is tamei. So if we would know that the dam that we're finding in the prozdor definitely came from the cheder, then there's no question it's tamei. But there's another possible source for this dam. And that's what?
Yeah.
The aliyah. Now, where did you find the dam? Was it closer to the aliyah or was it closer to the cheder?
Yeah.
Oh, you found it closer to the aliyah. No, so what would Karav tell you here?
It's the aliyah.
That she's Tamei or Torah?
Torah.
She's Torah, right? But if on the other hand, Rove, so most of the blood is uteral bleeding, it's dam and amokar, and therefore the Rove clashes with the Karav. And yet, Which wins out? Which beats out what? Rov, and therefore what's her status? She's Tame. However, if Abai is invoking this Mishnah Nida as a proof to Reb Chanina, then what kind of curve do we have to come up with? Where's the curve of the Mucha? Who asked this question? What about Rashi? No, Rashi doesn't ask this question. It's unbelievable. Rashi just completely skips this question. Let's take a look at Rashi.
You didn't say anything in Rashi over here about Mukhaf and Abai.
That's right. You know, this is, in a sense, Rashi's very consistent here. He's not aware of this concept, of this category of Kurva the Mukha. Rashi says, if you take a look at the end of this Rashi, Sveiko Tome, he says, V'lo Omar min Aliyah Notaf Derech Halul. Right, the Lul is that opening between the Aliyah and the prose door. So you found the Dam in the prose door. We don't assume that the Dam came through this lul, through this opening, from the Aliyah into the prose door, which would mean that she's Tahora. The Afal Gav, the Aliyah, Karov le prose door. What does he mean, Aliyah, Karov le prose door? It's just a matter of proximity. You know, if you took a measuring rod from the Aliyah to the prose door, it's a smaller distance than from the Cheder to the prose door. But Rashi doesn't give us any clue as to what generates, what upgrades this Karov to the level of what? Kurva de Mucha.
Can we say that maybe Rashi didn't learn like Tosos in the case of Ksuvis, that there's a Karov in the case of Ksuvis?
Could be. That's excellent. So who does address this question as to how Abaye could jack up the Karov of Aliyah to a level of a Kurva de Mucha? Tosos. And Tosus says, V'afal gav, the ika liya de makarva, says Tosus v'kurva de muchachu. Okay. Now, if somebody could tell me
there was none of that.
Why it's a kurva de muchach, I would be very appreciative. See, in the case of the barrel, which was your paradigm kurva de muchach, you'd have to tell me a whole story in order to explain how the barrel of wine came from the tippy top, the northern end of the Euphrates, and it rolled all the way down here and nobody found it. So that's your paradigm of a kurva de mucha. In the case of the cholol, you've got the city, you know, sitting bein haharim, and very few people are coming in from the outside, so you're going to tell me what Rov Ha'olam, Ruba the Alma, well, that makes the kurva to a kurva de mucha. Or, for example, if you have a case of a medadeid, then you assume that the bird came from the closer one, because otherwise it's a kurva de mucha. What makes the aliyah case into a kurva de mucha? I mean, isn't it just a matter of taking out a measuring rod? You know, like the case in the vela, where it happens to be that the bus in the vela is closer to the chanus that's selling the vela. But that really doesn't tell me anything. You know, in the course of events, if somebody drops a piece of meat, he could drop it anywhere. Okay, the Tosfos Rid has a case. Ari, what was the Tosfos Rid case? Why do we assume it didn't come from just anywhere? Because where did you find the meat, according to Tosfos Rid? Yeah, so was it in that area where the stores are? It wasn't anywhere in that area. So, if you found a piece of meat somewhere outside this whole group of stores, then you don't even begin to get to imagine a car.
Didn't we say that Aliyah is on top of Makar and the other one? Was the one? Makar and
the Makar is the same as the Cheder and the Prozdor. And so the Aliyah is on the top of both the Makar, the Cheder and the Prozdor.
Like if you take water, it would run downward, right? So if it's bound upward, so shouldn't you say chances are that it came from the Aliyah?
Uh-huh.
Could that be a way of saying that? Therefore,
that sounds very good. And where do you? I want you to find it to me on the page. I don't know if he quotes the law of gravity, but
I mean, Rashi just says that that's what's called.
But look at Tosus Dibra Maskel Af. That's what I'd hope that you would have looked at that in
oh, and then
in says.
Then it says in Yochel Alam Kanesh Chasvi Yoser. Right, it says we're
looking. Are we looking at the same Tosus via Afal P?
I have Afal Gav.
I'm sorry, Afal Gav.
min achayder any yochel lavo, right? The can't come from
the chayder. Oh, why not?
Right, elam can't, unless you say shkos v'yoser. I don't know what that means.
Okay. So you didn't see my Marmon Kovach page. I'm not going to penalize you for that, but take a look. I wrote a translation of it on the page. It's the third source on your page. Kefafo, you see it?
Kafafo
Atzma. Kafafo Atzma,
Beyoso. Bent over. What does that mean?
Right. She's got, because Tosus understands, as Rashi pointed out, that the cheder is in the back, and the prozor is in the front. So Tosus says that in order to get this dam from the cheder into the prozdor, she would have to bend down, change her position, biyoser. I would emphasize that word biyoser. What does that word biyoser indicate?
More than it's normal.
Exactly. Wonderful. It's abnormal. What does that sound like to you, Rabosai?
Okay, so the Yehoah.
Correct, that the barrel could come from the top. No, you have to change nature, so to speak. I don't mean that literally, but I mean to say you have to come up with something irregular, something unusual, something not anticipated, not normal, in order to construct an explanation for why the rove beats out the korov. The advantage of the korov is that we don't need her to bend down, you know, like well, what do they call those exercises, you know, where you touch your nose on the floor? You know, those people who are like, you know, so elastic they can turn themselves into like a pretzel. You know what I mean? But most people don't do those kinds of things.
I hear that what you're saying about the carbon move up, but at the same time we're saying and you're saying that it's abnormal, but at the same time we're saying rove of the blood comes from that place, so it can't be abnormal if we're saying that rove is not like that.
Okay.
We're saying rove is like that, and it's not abnormal, by definition.
But again, where did you find the dam? You see, that's the important point. Go back to the Tosfos again. You're right. In most cases, you don't find the dam exactly where you found it now. And therefore, it's uteral bleeding. It's coming from the mokar. But in this particular scenario, where did you find the dam, says Tosfos? I don't know if Tosfos is going to say that every time a woman has nidus, it's because, you know, she stood on her head, you know, did a somersault, you know, in gymnastics. I don't think that's what Tosfos is saying. He's talking about the case of the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say?
Is that in prison?
But where in the prose, though? He just doesn't stop there. I think you're cutting off Tosfos, you know, halfway through. Go back to the original Tosfos Omar Abayim. Do you see my page? Divrei HaTosfos on the fourth, on the, you know, I work very hard on these pages, so. Oh, this one's yours? Sorry. I apologize for that. Where's mine? I don't know. No, I have it here, but I wrote my name on it. Take a look in the fourth paragraph. What do you say?
Got it by the wall.
What are the key words in this Tosfos? Omar Abayim.
Lothanim Yuri.
Lothanim
Yuri.
I don't know why you have to go that far. I think you really you skipped over the main three words.
Nimtza
Begag Prozdor. Please emphasize those words. Because if you don't emphasize those words, I don't think you'll have a clue as to what Tosfos means in the Tosfos afterwards, the Afalpi. Tosfos is saying that what sets up this Karov, to the Karov to the Aliyah, as a Kurva de Muchach, and he says because it would take something unusual to get the Dam from the Cheder into the Prozdor. She would have to be Shachsa v'yoser, meaning kafafa v'yoser. She's got to literally do gymnastics in order to get the dam there. Well, that doesn't make any sense. But I think the key to understanding this Tosfos as to why in the Mishnah Nida it would take some unusual sequence of events in order to get the dam from the cheder into the prozdor is because nimtza begag prozdor. You know, if you found it in the lower parts of the prozdor, so the dam that's feeding into the prozdor is coming both from the aliyah and from the cheder. Because even though the cheder and the prozor are on the same level, I guess you'd call it the horizontal one to the other, but nevertheless there's a connection between the cheder and the prozor, and that's your classical case of dam nidus. But here there's something unusual going on. It has to be unusual, because where did you find the dam? On the Gaga prose door.
We're saying like Rosh, we're saying the very, as soon as the entrance to the Aliyah, which is
called. Yeah, mid alul vilifnim. Again, where is the prose door? Is it forwards or is it backwards?
Forwards.
It's forwards. Where's the cheder? Cheder is backwards. I guess you call it interior and posterior. I don't know how you say it in English. Is
that exterior.
Exterior. Okay, so you have the interior and the exterior. So, if you found it on the Gag Prozdom in Alul Vilifnim, what does that tell you? Unless you assume something unusual happened.
Probably came from the Aliyah.
It came from the Aliyah. So, there's a lot of evidence here weighing into the Karov, which allows me to upgrade the Karov to what level? Kurva de Mucha. What happens in a Kurva de Mucha? Who do I have to invoke in order to give Rov the power to defeat a Kurva de Mucha? I have to invoke Rabbi Chanina. So if the Mishnah says that you're Tomei, that she's Tmeya, it must be that the Mishnah maintains that Rov beats out even what? Kurva de Mucha. Rov beats out Kurva de Mucha. Should there be a question to ask you?
I have two questions.
You have two questions, and
I just want to know what Rashi's doing with the same case.
I don't know.
When it says Velo Pasuach Me'aliyah LeFrizdor.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Is that the same thing as the Gag?
So let's put that on our agenda for tomorrow. Is Rashi learning like Tosfos here? First of all, Rashi doesn't mention Kurv de Mucha, that we pointed out. Secondly, does Rashi mention the word Gag? I didn't find the word Gag in Rashi. So tomorrow, Bli Neder, we'll go back to the drawing board. We'll try to see if Rashi's assuming that you found the dam on the Gag HaProzdor. But Tosfos makes a big, gigantic deal about the fact that in this particular scenario, the dam was found on the Gag HaProzdor. And then Tosfos adds, A, that in order for the dam to have come from the Cheder into the Gag HaProzdor, she'd have to be Shachso V'yoser. And B, that Tosfos adds that this Kurva is a Kurva de Mucha.
Firstly, why is this even a robe? I mean, like, if we're talking about robe of different cases, the blood comes from the makor, so then that has nothing to do with the robe of this case, whereas...
Excellent
that,
question. Excellent. He's saying that maybe robe applies to the general case, but maybe in this case the robe falls away?
Right, because this is a different... Like, robe of normal needed cases, it comes from the makor. But this case, we already established it's...
So Rabosai, for this question, we're going to have to come back to the drawing board. I'll tell you why. And this is going to be the main discussion tomorrow. There are two categories of rov. Does anybody know what I have in mind? Take a look at the Gemara in Chulin for a second. You'll see what I have in mind. The Gemara in Chulin is about the sixth source on your page. Do you see where it says, Mina ha-milsa?
Yeah.
So the Gemara asks the question, Mina ha-milsa, diom Rabbanan, zil basar ruba. Where did the Rabbanan know that we rely on rov?
Yeah.
So the Gemara right away asks a question on the question. What question does Gemara ask?
Minola.
Yeah, you have to ask. You have to put the exclamation mark. Minola. What kind of imbecile are you? You're asking. Where do we know Rove from? Dichsiv. We know it from what? Achra Latos. Ah, the Gemara says no. That's not what I meant. What kind of Rove is that? Correct. Ruba Disa. Come on. Kigon Teisha Chanuyos V'Sanhedrin. What does the Gemara mean by Sanhedrin? What are we counting in the case of Sanhedrin? That sets up a rov.
Votes,
correct? Lokami Boylan, I never asked you that question. I'm not that dumb. You know, sometimes you think that the one who asks the question is dumb. I'm not that dumb. I know there's a poskach Rav Mahatis. Ki kami boyle, what was I asking you about? Ruba de lesa, come on. Oh, what's a ruba de lesa, come on? Kigon katan uktana.
Yeah, what was the case?
What's the case of Katan and Katana? So look at Rashi. First, Rashi tells you what's the case of Ruba the Isa, come on. So Rashi says the following. Teisha chanuyos, kulan mochros basar shchuta, v'achas mocheres basar nevelu, v'nintu basar ba'aretz, halach achar rov, da kamon, please underline this, da kamon chazinon de Ruba de Tera. In front of us, we see it.
Yeah.
You know, the emphasis is we could really, really count it up. It's tangible. It's kavua. It's set in its place. It's right there. But what's katnu katana? The pligi rabbanon later of mayor biyavamus. We have to see what this machlokes is all about. This non yavam katan. You know, it's very possible that when the brother died, remember, and he left a wife, she was very young, and his brother was very young. Again, in our reality, it's a little bit rare that that would happen, because we're assuming a man is married to a girl who's less than 12 years old. Right? So that's a little rare in our time. But you know, you and I know that in the Gemara, the concept of marrying off your daughter when she's a katana is all over the place. And now you married her off to a fellow Nebuch who passed on, and she falls for Yibum, but his brother is a katan. So we have a case of a katan ball at Yivama. And you got luzem ze, and then let them live as married husband and wife as they get older and older, because we want to encourage the mitzvah of yibum. But what chashash do we have to worry about? Correct. What if she's an islandess, or if he's a what? A saris. The whole mitzvah of yibum is predicated on the assumption that he can give birth, he can father a child, and she can mother a child. So how do we know this? So we say, Lo chai shinon shemetim to island is ohu saris, finim to pogeb eishes achiv shalom akum mitzvah. That's what's unique about Yibum, is that in the case of Yibum, it's one extreme or the other. It's either a mitzvah or it's the worst avera of being pogeb eishes achiv. So he says, no, amrinon zil basa rov ktanim di alma, v'hainu rubi the lesser, come on. Why is this rove that most children, when they get older, will be capable of having children, of bearing children? Why is that rove of Ruvah the lesser come on?
Right now they don't have that ability necessarily. Opposed to the other rove, is that rove is in existence now. The other rove is that, who said that's going to actually be true when the kid gets older?
But go back to the first Rashi. Rashi says the Teish Chanus is your paradigm of Ruvah the Issa come on, because I see it in front of me and I can count it.
Yeah.
What's your Ruba the lesser come on now in the case of Katan? Rashi doesn't spell it out, but I think we could.
In general,
you're begging on general, and there are other factors that take effect, and you don't know what that.
And when you say general, is, what do you mean by general? What gives me that rove? Can I see it? Can I count it?
No, it's just normal.
Can I march by all the children in the world and say, oh, this one and that one, they're all going to be able to.
You can't give it a definitive number, but you know in general.
No. Okay, what's that knowledge coming from?
Logic. Or past experience.
I'll tell you why I don't like the word logic.
It's not logic. Logic, what it is beforehand.
Logic doesn't need a concrete universe. Yet logic exists in the abstract universe, what we call mathematics. I don't think this is a mathematical, logical rove. What kind of rove is it?
Realistic.
Realistic, good.
Probable.
No, but I'm asking, what generates the probability? Why do you assume so?
What's
you can't count the rove.
What's happened in the past? That's what does it.
A stunned kid, you would assume, is able to. So whatever puts that.
But why? I mean, why do I assume a stunned kid could have children?
Before.
That's the norm. That's the norm.
Exactly.
Good. Norm. I like the word norm. But what generates it as the norm? Is it the fact that we decided that this should be the norm? You know, usually when I hear the word norm, you know, we decided the norm is that we wear shoes, you know, but somebody might want to wear sneakers, right? So that's, you know what I'm saying?
Aren't shoes sneakers?
So what else besides the norm, Rabosai? Can you give me another concept?
Majority, what? Majority of kids give.
Majority, but you can't count it. How do you know it's a majority?
A census.
Seems apparent to us.
Nobody sees it?
Why would Hashem make the world that way?
Okay, so I'm going to present. Oh, good, good, good. What's that called that Hashem made the world that way? I'll give you a hint. It starts with an N, like in Nathan.
Yeah, nature.
Oh. Nature. This is nature. That's what a Ruba the Lesser Kaman is all about. A Ruba the Lesser Kaman is a rove that's generated by nature. Nature itself tells me it's got to be this way. Again, there are exceptions to it. For example, if you wanted to know if this child is the child of Reuven or Shimon, because the mother who gave birth to this child was married to two husbands, and you don't know who the father is, right? You have to know for Dini Yerusha, for Dini Yavama, for many different dinim. Well, what happens if this child was born after 9 months? Then we know that the father was Reuven. For Reuven, Reuven was out of the picture, and maybe she gave birth to this child after 7 months. What's that called?
Premature.
Premature. So the rove is that she gave birth after 9 months. Can you count that rove? Is it nira la'ayin? But again, what's mechayev that kind of a rove?
Nature.
That's how I don't want to use the word norm, you know, but it is the same as a norm. But I mean, it's the normalcy within nature. If I tell you something about a psychology, most people, if I would tell you, would not pick up a shechita knife and shecht an animal unless they knew something about shechita. Can I count that? Do I have all the people in the world in front of me and I'm taking a census and I'm counting how many people would shecht an animal and who won't? And I find out that most of the people who shecht are bekiyim v'shechita. No. But it's not normal to shecht an animal if you don't know a clue about it. So again, it's built on a psychological nature. That's called a Ruba the Lesser. Come on. And here's my question for you. Which is stronger? Which is more powerful? A Ruba the Isa come on or a Ruba the Lesser come on?
I would say Lisa Kaman because it doesn't change, opposed to Isa Kaman can change.
Sure, Isa Kaman you can count in front of you.
But the Lesa Kaman is just fact of nature, and nature is not going to change. Opposed to
from the structure of the Gemara in Chulin, what impression do you get? Just in terms of the structure.
The structure seems that Isa Kaman is stronger.
Right.
It's a pasuk.
It's still that
but at the same time, nature, which is logic also, we say if it's logic or whatever, you don't need a pasuk for it, so therefore there'd be no point of having a pasuk in the first place.
So you would vote in favor of Ruba the Lesa Kaman. Is that correct? And you would vote in favor of Ruba the Isa Kaman. This is going to be a gigantic machlokas that we're going to have to study tomorrow.
I mean,
and on this, I want to see with you Chassam Sofer. And if we can, then what we have to analyze, Rabbi said, this, I want you to make a note of this, but tomorrow I want you to think very hard with all the makoros that I gave you. If Tosus has successfully established the case of Nida as what kind of kurva? Kurva de Mucha. Then maybe what Tosus wants to do is set up that kurva as a ruba de lesser kamon. And if that be the case, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Chanina there? That what rove beats out a ruba de lesser kamon?
No, a kurva de mucha is even.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. If here's my equation. You have the rove damim. You know, I could really calculate the rove damim. And I can tell you that Rov Dam, you know, the volume of Dam that comes from uterine bleeding is that much greater than the volume of Dam that could come from an Aliyah. You know, where some Dam might drip out, you know, a little drop here and a little drop there, right? So it comes along Rav Chanina and he says that Dam that's coming from the Mokar is a Rov, and that Rov has the power to defeat, in the case of Aliyah, Kurva de Mucha. So Rove beats out, says Rav Chanina, Kurva de Mucha. Tosus identifies that Kurva de Mucha as a Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Then what is basically, what is the underlying Chiddush of Rav Chanina when he says that Rove beats out a Kurva de Mucha?
Rove de Lesa Kamon beats out Kurva de Mucha.
Yeah, I think.
Again, if Kurva, let me go over one more time. Because I don't think you're following me. I want to clarify this, and then I'll let you go, because we got to eat lunch now. Ruba, kurva de mucha is a ruba de lesser kamon. Rabbi Chanina says that rove beats out even a kurva de mucha. What then underlies the principle of Rabbi Chanina?
Ruba de lesser kamon beats out ruba de lesser kamon.
Great. Well, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. I mean, we'll pick this up.